Good morning, Free Chapel. Thank you so much for joining us for this powerful series, Signs of the Times. Well, today, I believe we have one of the greatest preachers in the world, on the planet, Pastor John Hagee. He pastors an amazing church, Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. And I don't know of anyone better that we could bring in that has written greater books and faithfully preached on the return and the second coming of Jesus Christ and all of the things, the insights that he has that I believe are going to ring true in your spirit. There's something about when the book of Revelation and prophecy is unfolded, it should cause us to be thankful for our salvation, and it should cause us to have a fear and a reverence, a holy reverence. There's nothing wrong with that word. The fear of God needs to grip our heart, and an appreciation for our salvation. Jesus is coming again. Pastor John Hagee, we love you. I know you could be anywhere in the world, but you chose to come and preach to us at Free Chapel. Would you put your hands together? I'm gonna ask you just to stand and tell this legend that is preaching this morning how much we love and appreciate his powerful ministry. Give a warm welcome to Pastor John Hagee.
Hello, Free Church. Remain standing, please. For those of you who attend this church, you are blessed and highly favored of God to have Pastor Jensen and Sharif Franklin as your pastors. You are tremendously blessed. Today across America, Israel is an object of prayer because the Jewish people today are fighting for their survival. Across America is CUFI, National Day of Prayer, to stand with the Jewish people. So I'm going to begin today with this prayer for God's protection of the apple of his eye. Can we pray together? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. We petition heaven with our united prayers as we seek your blessings, your peace, and your protection for Israel. O God, you are just and powerful, and we ask that you defend Israel's cause against her enemies, for you are a strong tower of defense for those who love you. We ask that you hear our cry in this day of trouble and intervene on Israel's behalf. Father God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we ask that you accompany Israel's troops into the battle and you fight with them that they may be successful. Lord, we ask that you miraculously bring all of the captives home safe to Israel and America without having to release murderers and terrorists in exchange. God of universe, we ask that you bless Israel's leaders with the courage of Joshua, the wisdom of Solomon, and the fortitude of King David to make difficult decisions. Unite them with one purpose and give them the determination and resources to utterly destroy the enemies that have risen up against the kingdom of God. Galvanize America's leaders so our nation may stand steadfastly beside our friend and ally. May the Lord our God be with Israel as he was with our forefathers. May he not leave them nor forsake them. For as King David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. He is my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom will I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from all of my enemies, saith the Lord God. We ask this in the name above all names, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord, he is God, and there is no other. In the authority of Jesus' name, we pray and ask it. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. I'm so honored to be here today and delighted to see each and every one of you. How many of you watch us on television? Let me see your hand. God bless you. You're the ones that's going to heaven. You may be seated. The text of the morning is from 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 19. Peter writes, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The question is asked, Pastor Hagee, why should I study prophecy? First, approximately 1/4 of the Bible was prophetic when it was written. The God of heaven wanted you to know something about this subject. It certainly behooves every believer to study it, to know exactly what God has planned for our future. It was written by the Holy Spirit, so obviously he knows more than we. Secondly, we should study prophecy because the Word of God declares that Bible prophecy is absolutely accurate. The text confirms the absolute accuracy of prophecy. Focus on the phrase, "We have a more sure word of prophecy." More sure than what? Peter is saying, we were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In a court of law, the eyewitness is the highest standard of accuracy possible. So St. Peter is saying, we the disciples are the eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were not deceived by fables, but we saw him. We are eyewitnesses of it. So we have a more sure word of prophecy, which is greater in accuracy than the eyewitness account. Peter continues saying, the prophetic word is the light that shines in a dark place. A dark place is a place where you can't clearly see the future. No one can see the future for America. We are stumbling in the darkness. We have lost our moral compass. A dark place is a place of moral corruption and political corruption. And brother, that's the beat of the American heart right now. Never in the history of our great nation have we had such absolute immoral corruption in our government combined with pathetic and incompetent leadership. Never have roving gangs of anarchists burned down our cities. Never have policemen been mocked, shot, and murdered in our streets. Never have the public school systems abandoned the Ten Commandments while socialist teachers' unions are brainwashing your children with the madness that they can become a transsexual person. Let me say it clearly. When you were born to be a man or a woman. Anything else is demonized madness. And we, the people, should stand up and demand morality in our government. Never in the history of this nation have we had a president and his son who were under the influence of a foreign country committed to America's destruction. Our forefathers called this treason. We have a hard time in Washington these days saying plain words. Treason. I don't believe any politician can save America. There must be a return to righteousness before this nation will be saved. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible says let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Some Christians have been intimidated by the people who run the media because they don't want to be offensive. They don't want to be attacked. They don't want to be questioned. They'd just rather quietly sneak off in the corner and worship Jesus. It's time for the church to roar like a lion. We are the church, victorious in Jesus' name. We should study Bible prophecy because it reveals the power and the wisdom of God to absolutely control the future. Consider the birth of the nation of Israel. Every major prophet in the Old Testament prophesied that God was going to bring Israel back. But then there's a prophet that did even further than that. Israel is God's prophetic clock. When the Jewish people are in Israel, the clock is running. When the Jewish people are out of Israel, the clock is stopped. So historically, let me phrase that. When the Roman army under General Titus surrounded Jerusalem in 70 AD, they besieged the city of Jerusalem and 1 million people starved to death. In addition, Titus took 70,000 Jewish men as slaves to Rome to build the Colosseum, where gladiators fought for their lives and Christians were devoured by lions. The prophetic clock stopped and did not start again until May 14th, 1948, when the nation Israel was reborn in a day, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 66, saying, "A nation shall be born in one day." That nation was Israel. It was the greatest miracle since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the prophet Hosea gives a prophecy that has specific dimension that you need to know. Hosea writes to the Jewish people in Hosea 6, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us and he will heal us." Keep that phrase in mind. "He has stricken us, but he will bind us up. And after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day," listen, "he will raise us up and we will live in his sight." If he lives in your sight, it means he's there. So put these prophecies together. The Bible says the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. So day one, starting from AD, BC, AD from 0 to 1,000 years is day one. God disciplined Israel. The prophet said, "He has torn us." So what did God do to Israel in day one? They experienced the Crusades. The Pope called for 8 different Crusades. 100,000 Crusaders marched from Europe to Jerusalem with spears and shields and swords. And they killed Jews from Europe to Jerusalem and from Jerusalem back to Europe. 7 of those crusades. The first time they went into Jerusalem, they surrounded the synagogue, filled it with Jewish women and children and men, set it on fire. And while it was burning, and they were screaming for their lives, the crusaders were singing, "Christ, we adore thee." Now that's history Christians don't know, but the Jews know it like John 3:16. So when you go to them and you tell them you want to tell them about Jesus, they look at you like you've got a deadly disease. That's why. The Bible says that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and is 1,000 years is as the days of the Lord. He said on day two, he will revive us. So that takes us from 1,000 to 2,000. We get to 1470 with the Spanish Inquisition, where King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella kicked the Jewish people out of Spain. That had been their home for 1,000 years. But they kicked them out of Spain. They confiscated their properties and put that money in the coffers of the Roman church. 32,000 died, being tortured because they would not convert to Catholicism. Then came the Day of Days in 1948. In the second day, late in the afternoon, Israel was reborn. Ben Gurion announced to the world that Israel, after almost 2,000 years, had been reborn. On the third day, the prophet says, we will live in his sight. On the third day, Christ has returned. The third day began at midnight on the year 2000. We are 23 years into the third day. I'm telling you, very biblically factual, that we are going to see Jesus face to face in the third day. Jesus will return, and he could return before this day ends. Give the Lord praise in the house. The rebirth of Israel is the greatest miracle in the Bible since the resurrection. I was listening to the radio with my father when that announcement was made in 1948. This is the most important day since the resurrection of Jesus, my father said. Never underestimate the love of God for the Jewish people. David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 17:20 reads, O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people? There is no verse that God has ever reversed that love for Israel. Deuteronomy 7, for you, Israel, and the Jewish people are a holy people to the Lord. Listen, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. To some Americans, that's an offensive verse. We like to think of ourselves as being first. God simply says the Jewish people are a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. Why? His son went to earth as a Jewish person. And the Jewish person made the redemption of Gentiles possible. The first sign of Christ's return to earth was the shocking and amazing rebirth of the state of Israel. Israel has just celebrated its 75th year of independence. And in these 75 years, the state of Israel, with a land space smaller than that of New Jersey, has become the epicenter of the world. Jerusalem is the shoreline of eternity. What does that mean? That means that everything that's important geopolitically or prophetically or spiritually starts and ends with the city of Jerusalem. The Bible fact is God blesses the Jewish people directly, and through the Jewish people blesses us, the Gentile people. Think about it. Our blessings from the Jewish people, every word of this book written by Jewish people, every word. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jewish guys. Prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, not a Baptist or Pentecostal in the group. When I was raised, if you weren't Pentecostal, you weren't going to heaven. Those days are over, thank God. The first family of Christianity was Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. The disciples, all Jewish people, St. Paul. St. Paul writes in Galatians, because we have received of the Jewish spiritual things, we are obligated to them to minister them into the material things. That's written in your Bible. It's not something people preach about or teach about much, but it's very much as true as John 3:16. God promised in Genesis 12:3, and through you, Israel, will all the families of the earth be blessed. Hello, Washington. God is watching your abuse of Israel. When you gave Iran $6 billion and you funded Hamas making this shot slaughter possible, I will say to you that you are bringing the judgment of God on our nation. The day America stops blessing Israel will be the day God stops blessing the United States of America. The second sign of Christ's coming is that of scoffers, the pseudo-intellectual nitwit who knows everything. 2 Peter 3 says, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers saying, where's the sign of his coming? Pastor Hagee, what difference does it make whether I believe in the rapture or not? Exactly this. Hebrews 9:28 says, to those that eagerly look for him, will he appear the second time? The point is, if you're not looking for him, you're not going with him. Then the Bible adds, watch and pray that you be counted worthy to escape those things that are coming on the earth. Escape what? This means the coming Antichrist, who's going to kill everyone on the earth who refuses to take his mark in the right hand and in the forehead. If you have not committed your life to Christ, you're going to be left behind. And your option will be to go through the living hell of the Great Tribulation, which lasts 7 years with 21 global tragedies that will kill one-third of the earth's population on one day. That's just one of the tragedies. The Antichrist will force you to take his mark in his right hand or your forehead. And he will cut your head off if you refuse. You will be resurrected at the second coming. Take his mark, you lose your soul. Some of you listening to me right now, you know about Jesus, but you're not serving Jesus. And I'm going to look you right in the face and tell you, you will be in this church bawling your eyes out when the rapture happens and you've been left behind. Where's the sign of his coming? I love to hear scoffers say, it's never going to happen. You're running your mouth like that is a testimonial. It's closer to happening than it's ever been before. The fact that you do not believe that Christ is coming back is living proof that he will soon appear. If you listen closely, you can hear the footsteps of Messiah in the clouds of glory coming to rapture the church victorious. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. The third sign is the knowledge explosion. Daniel writes in the 12th chapter. He wrote this 2,600 years ago. It reads, but you, Daniel, shut up the words of the book and seal the book till the end of time. This would be the book of Daniel. Seal it to the end of time. When many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be greatly increased. The invention of the automobile was a dramatic increase of knowledge that changed the world at the time of the end. That's what the Bible says. Listen to the prophet Nahum in chapter 2 describe the invention of the automobile. Remember, this is the prophet who rode a donkey or camel at the racy speed of about 3 miles an hour. Top speed. The prophet writes, the chariots, that would be cars, shall be flaming torches in the day. In the day of what? In the day of the Lord's coming. Not last days, but in the day of the Lord's coming. The chariot shall rage in the streets, the Bible says, and they shall jostle each other in the broadways. And they shall seem like torches, that will be headlights on the cars. And they shall see, and they shall run like lightning. That's when you're going 70 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone. The most important phrase in this verse is, in the days of his coming, meaning in the day when the Lord was preparing to return for his church. Every time you get in your car, you are in a mechanical testimonial of what God has said is a sign of the end of the world, as we know it. The invention of the airplane is in the Bible. The Wright brothers made their first flight December the 3rd, 1903. Today, we have jet aircraft that can fly to the other side of the world at 600 miles an hour with 6,000 miles. What men would fly in the future is unseen by prophetic scripture. Isaiah writes, as birds flying, so shall the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem, defending also he will deliver it, and passing over it, he will preserve it. Get that? As birds flying, defending Jerusalem, passing over it, he will preserve it. That verse was a mystery to my father and to my grandfathers. In 1917, when the British under General Allenby came up from Egypt to defend Jerusalem, Allenby was a devout believer. And he asked God how he could deliver Jerusalem without damaging the holy city. And the next day, he sent his scouting planes flying at a low altitude over Jerusalem. Most Turks had never seen a plane. They were terrified, and they ran from Jerusalem without firing a shot. Thus, in a literal way, did the Lord God of Israel deliver Jerusalem with birds flying by the airplane passing over it. From the Garden of Eden until 1900, knowledge was the same. Transportation was the same. Men rode horses, just as did King David. Communication was the same. Agriculture was the same. Medical knowledge was the same. My father's generation went from the horse and buggy to the jet age, from dying with the flu in 1917 to heart transplants. The knowledge of medical science is so staggering right now, we've had to redefine what death is. Communication has gone from talking over the back fence to a cell phone that you can pick up and call the other side of the world. If I wake up in eternity and see a cell phone, I know I went to hell. That's just a sidebar. From the muskets of the Civil War to the development of hydrogen bombs, knowledge has exploded. We are that generation that will see Jesus coming in the clouds, victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The question is, are you ready for his soon appearing? Do you know him personally? Are you serving him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body? Do you know about him? That's one thing, but do you know him personally? This knowledge explosion has not produced utopia. It has produced a generation corrupted by sex trafficking, socialism, Satanism, and paganism in the United States of America. It has led to the collapse of the traditional family. The great problem in America is the absentee father that has abandoned his wife and his children and refuses to be the spiritual moral leader of that family. We have the collapse of men marrying men, women marrying women. This is not progress. This is insanity. Why? Because knowledge without God only produces an intellectual barbarian. I give you Harvard University. We are that generation that's ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the only Savior. He is the only way to heaven. He is the answer. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth will set you free. Not the things the world are offering. You would think that global warming would set the world free and liberate the world. That's nonsense. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. That is the answer. He is the hope to the hopeless. He is peace to those who are searching for it. He's the great physician for those of you who are sick and wanting someone to heal your sick body. He's the counselor for those of you who have marriages that are falling apart. If you love him, you serve him, he never fails. Christ is still the answer for the American family and for you and for the world. Put your hands together and give him a praise in the house. A fourth sign of Christ's coming, Jesus gave in Matthew to his disciples. When this gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, then shall the end come. Jesus presented the spine of prophecy in Matthew 25 to his 12 disciples on the Mount of Olives. The Bible says, and as he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and asked him these three famous questions. Tell us when these things shall be, what shall be the sign of your coming, and thirdly, what shall be the sign of the end of the age? Jesus answered in Matthew 24:14 these shocking words, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all of the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So what does that have to do with us? Just a few Sundays ago, Matt and I were sitting on the platform talking at the break between the choir singing and the offering. And Matt looked at our electronic data that he carries to the platform and said, Dad, today 101 nations are listening to us. We're literally preaching the gospel to the whole world. Brother, it was all I could do to keep from shouting. When the gospel is preached to the whole world. Pray up, folks. Pack up. Look up. We're going up. It's not long. The fifth prophetic sign that will shake the nations of planet Earth will be the rapture of the church. I tell you very candidly, when you read the scripture, the first thing the Antichrist will do is make a peace treaty for Israel, that Israel can have complete control of their land. Many Jewish people will see the Antichrist as the Messiah. But he will turn on them in 3.5 years. The point I'm trying to make here is that at a time of war, just like we have right now, the Antichrist will step up and make a promise, but before he makes that promise, the church is gone. We could be gone this afternoon. Hallelujah. First Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of victory and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of royalty of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Thee and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the clouds of glory to meet the Lord in the air. People say, well, Pastor, that's never happened. Oh, yes, it has. Elijah was taken into heaven with chariots of fire. He's been there for 3,000 years. He's coming back, according to Malachi 4:5, to tell the Jewish people Messiah is on the way. But the church is going to be gone before that happens. Enoch has taken into heaven. Jesus on the resurrection morning rose from the dead and he ascended to the throne of God. It has happened before. Acts 1:11, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here staring into the heavens? This same Jesus shall come in like manner, literally, physically, visibly. As you have seen him go, he will come again. Put those verses together and very soon you have this picture. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Glory, suddenly appears in the heavens as brilliantly as the noonday sun, as lightning flashing from east to the west. The trump of God shall sound, announcing the approach of royalty. For Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Glory. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Champion of the Cross. He is the Commander of the Body of Christ. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. The voice of the archangel summons the righteous from their graves. And all over the earth, the bodies of resurrected saints will rise to meet the Lord in the air. Cars will be empty beside the freeways and the highways. Motors are running. The drivers and occupants are strangely missing. Homes of believers will have the dishes on the table, the food is on the stove, but the occupants have gone to heaven to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Headlines will be screaming, millions are missing, Christians have disappeared from the earth. There will be an instant economic crash. Why? Because all the Christians are gone. We're the only one paying taxes these days. That's true. You take hundreds of millions of tax-paying righteous people out of here, you've got a garbage can. That's what you've got. If you're not saved, don't dare fly with a Christian pilot. He's going up and you're going down. When that day comes, this church is going to be packed with people screaming and crying hysterically, saying the Lord has come and we've been left behind to go through the hell of the Antichrist in the great tribulation. Hello, America. Choose you this day whom you will serve, either Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, or the coming Antichrist. The Antichrist is the Lord of all scoffers. You will either be a servant of Jesus Christ or a slave to sin and Satan. Today is your day of decision. I say again, there's a great difference between knowing about Christ and knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The sixth sign of his coming is the king of the north being Russia. About 2,500 years ago, Ezekiel predicted that Russia would return to power in the latter days and would lead a 10-nation invasion of Israel. This is called the Gog-Magog War. It's 3.5 years after the rapture of the church. As we speak, Russia and Iran are united, and Iran will soon have a nuclear weapon if they don't already have it. Ezekiel 38:15 records this war. And you shall come from your place out of the north parts, you and many people with you. In other words, Russia is going to bring about 10 nations with them to come against Israel in the latter days. The latter days are right now. The prophet Daniel identifies the ruler who would lead this attack against Israel, the king of the north, Daniel 11:15-35. Ezekiel prophesied that the invading armies would come to Israel from the far north. The far north is not Turkey, it's Russia. Straight up from Jerusalem is Russia. According to Ezekiel, Russia will lead the following nations: Iran, Turkey, Sudan, Germany, and several Islamic nations in this invasion of Israel. What's going to happen? God Almighty will say it's enough. He will send his supernatural power, Ezekiel 39:2, and kill 5 out of 6 of those people who come to destroy Israel. Think about that. Russia is going to come because Ezekiel says, I will put hooks in your jaw and compel you to come to Israel. How many of you go fishing? Boy, there's not many fishers out here. What do y'all do for a living? A hook in your jaw, it's a compelling force. This information was given to me by military personnel. Russia's first hook is to gain a warm water port. They have done that. They have done that. Russia's second hook in the jaw is oil. The Wall Street Journal carried the story a few months ago that Israel has hit a huge treasure trove of oil that has the potential to supply Israel in every military, mechanical, civilian vehicle it has for 100 years. That's a lot of oil. You need to recognize that when it comes to war, he who has the most oil is generally the winner. When Israel's oil, with Israel's oil, Russia can control Europe and have an unlimited source of energy to fulfill all of their military ambitions and become a global superpower. The point, Ezekiel's prophecy in chapters 38, 39, given over 2,500 years ago, is happening right now before our eyes. Last Sunday morning, we were shocked to see the unbelievable headline on television, Israel is at war, and they're still at war right now. Right now, as of right now, 1,300 have been killed. Countless children have been slaughtered. Some have had their heads cut off. Women have been raped and mutilized. Demonic, if anything ever was. It's the worst slaughter of the Jewish people since the Holocaust. This vicious attack planned and executed by Iran, the same Iran that's mentioned in Ezekiel 38:5 as Persia. Something you need to know about the Middle East, that Iran trains, equips Hamas and Hezbollah. Hamas started this fight. Hezbollah is a much bigger terrorist organization, boasting of 100,000 warriors and 100,000 missiles. Right now, Hamas and Hezbollah are killing the Jewish people. Iran is the head of the snake in the Middle East. Get that in your mind. Iran is the head of the snake in the Middle East. And our government gave them $6 billion recently. How in heaven's name could that possibly happen? Ezekiel 38, 39 describes a war that would be led by Russia and Iran to destroy Israel. Russia and Iran and China are hooked at the hip for the destruction of Israel. I want to say this very clearly, that Iran put together the invasion of Israel for Hamas. Hamas is not that smart. Iran put that together. It was vicious. It was brilliant. Iran calls America the great Satan and Israel the little Satan. Listen to this. What would stop Iran and China from invading America using the tens of thousands of people who have come across our southern borders that we don't know and we don't control? Think how stupid we have been. We, the people of the United States of America, are in a very dangerous position. We are leaderless, and the nations of the world are conspiring to take us down. When you start voting for a political leader, vote for someone who at least loves America. God bless America. When it looks like that there is no hope, the God of all hope shows up. When it looks like peace is impossible, the Prince of Peace is going to rule this world. And when we return and rule this world, the Bible says we're going to rule it with a rod of iron. We're going to measure it by this book. This is going to be law and order right here. Our God is greater than the greatest. He's wiser than the wisest. He's higher than the highest. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power, the minds of men cannot fathom. When you're watching the evening news and it looks like America and the world are going to hell, it may be true. But the Church of Jesus Christ is going to heaven in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Quickly, the seventh and last sign is the King of the East. 40 years ago, when I taught that China would become a superpower in the future, people laughed. They're not laughing now. China is a military superpower, and they intend to take America down. That is a fact. Why are they sending spy craft over America for 7 days seeking sensitive intelligence to send back to China in real time? People say, well, we shot the balloon down. Yeah, you did. Right after all that information was already back to China. China now knows where every nuclear silo is, located to the foot. They know everything about our military installations. They have sensitive information concerning that. Don't blame China. Blame America's leadership. Blame those people. Blame Biden for their corrupt betrayal of America and the American people. Let me get this electronic gear squared away before I execute myself. Let me go to this chart. I'll do this quickly. This chart is the book of Revelation. It starts with these golden sources of light, the menorahs. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. It's the symbol. What few people really fully understand how Israel had perfect knowledge of what God wanted him to do is that the high priest, when he went into the temple, had an ephod on both shoulders. That was a huge diamond. You couldn't get that at your local jewelry store. It was huge. He would stand in front of this menorah. The menorah has the Israeli alphabet in the stem and in the wings. And the light of God would shine through this to each of those letters, one at a time, and spell out God's perfect will for the nation of Israel. How many of you did not know that? Good. How would you like to have for God to give you something that would show you every day for his perfect will? How many would like to have that? Here it is. Here it is. Now, I'm going to race through these seven churches and get to the church that represents our age, the Laodicean church. It's the church the book of Revelation calls the lukewarm church. God says, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Let me tell you, I think God admires a thoroughbred sinner more than he loves a half-baked person trying to be a Christian. I do. You really need to know Jesus, not just know about Jesus. God is going to spew this church out, and then the rapture is going to take place. This is the judgment seat of Christ. How many of you profess to know Jesus? Let me see your hand. Good. The first thing that's going to happen is you're going to be given account for every word, for every thought, for every deed. And that's going to determine the kind of crown you get. There are five different crowns you can get when you go to heaven. You can look at that person's crown and tell what they did and how well they did it, just like a military uniform. You see a guy with two stars on his shoulder, he's a general. You want to start saluting him as soon as you see him. You see a kid with one stripe on his sleeve, he's just started. He just started. So it will be in heaven. All of your righteous acts will be recorded in the clothes that you wear. If you don't make the rapture, this is the guy you're going to see. You're going to see quickly, the Antichrist. The Bible says he comes as a man of peace and he will produce war. The first thing he will do is make a peace treaty for the state of Israel, saying that they can own the property, just like the war we're experiencing right now. I want to tell you, that prophetically and schematically, this is exactly what's going to be going on when Jesus Christ raptures his church. Just like this. Nothing else has to happen. Literally nothing has to happen but the sounding of the trumpet to cause us to leave this earth. Are you ready? Are you ready? Then the Antichrist, there are seven seals, seven trumpets, seven personages, seven bowls. Snap it down to a 20-second statement. There are 21 hellacious things that happen on the earth that bring great devastation. Men will gnaw their tongues and crawl into mountains and pray for God to kill them, and God will not allow it. On one day, the Bible says, God will release the angels over the earth to kill one-third of the earth's population. That's one day. You talk about hell on earth, it's going to be 7 years of hell on earth. You people who are worried about climate control, it's coming. Right here. Right there. The sun is going to become so hot, people beg God to let them die, and he says, no chance. Not going to happen. Then we come to the place of Armageddon, where China marches up the Euphrates River with an army of 200 men. And from the west comes the Antichrist, who will lead the armies of Europe and probably the United States. Right there, there will be the most bloody battle ever recorded in the history of the world. The battlefield of Armageddon is about 200 miles in length. And the Bible says the blood of human beings will flow to the bridle of a horse. When a horse drinks, the bridle is about that long. You're talking about blood about 6 or 8 inches deep for 200 miles long and about 100 miles wide. That's unbelievable. Who are these people? These are people who came against, or coming against Israel, and God is going to wipe them out. Then there will be 1,000 years of perfect peace. No presidential elections, no fake news, none of all of this nonsense we go through with. There's going to be one king and one leader. It will be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There will be one law. It will be his law. A lion and a lamb will lay down together. Jeremiah says your child can play in a cockatrice nest. That's what we would call rattlesnakes. Your child can play with poisonous snakes. You have no worry because the child will not be hurt. That is what you call total peace. Now listen to this. This is an encouragement to me. After 1,000 years, Satan is released. And he goes into the world and to deceive many. Why? Because there are people born who never had the opportunity to choose or reject Jesus. And Satan is going to get them to follow him in one last battle against God's chosen, Jesus Christ. He gets wiped out and he is cast into hell. And then that's when eternity begins. Let me cover this. That here, for those right here who did not make the rapture and you followed him, you're going here. This is where the great white throne judgment happens. This is where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Here. Not there, here. Here, because the people who are there know they're coming to be sentenced to eternal hell. Once that happens, God remakes the earth into the Garden of Eden, and eternity begins. Forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. and forever.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.